Lamed Aleph Amid Beis, 62, about middle of the page. It says, V'idach plukta de Rav Papa v'Rav Nachman by Yitzchak.
Yeah.
Damn it. It's 2, 4, 6, 8, 10 lines before the lines get white. Mm-hmm. The Gemara said, no, you got the wrong page. 62. You have 62. Yeah, that. 10 lines before the lines get wide. The Gemara said a statement before. We learned this here. We have to go through it quickly because we can't start in the middle. The Gemara said before that Rabbi Yechiel ben Zakkai made 9 takonis. Okay, and the Mishnah figured out 8 of them. I mean, the Gemara figured out 8 of them already. I mean, 9 of them. Sorry, 9 of them. So now the Gemara says, V'idach, what is the 10th, the 9th, Plukta the Rav Papa and Rav Nachman Yitzchok. There's an argument between Rav Papa and Rav Nachman Yitzchok, what the 9th one was. The 9th takana that Rabbi Yechiel ben Zakkai made. Rav Papa was a din of Kerem Ravai, which we'll explain in a second. And Rav Nachman Yitzchok says, no, it was Lushen Shal Zahedis. It was the scarlet thread that they put on Yom Kippur. The Gemara is going to explain what this is. The Papa says it was Kerem Ravai. The Papa says it's the case of Kerem Ravai. What does it mean, Kerem Ravai? It says, Kerem Ravai, Elu Shalayim. The din was as follows. The first 3 years of a tree, you're not allowed to eat the fruits, is called Arla. The fourth year, you have to take the fruits up to Yerushalayim to eat them. They're yours, but they have to be eaten in Yerushalayim. What happens if they're too much? So the din is, you have to redeem them for money and bring the money to Yerushalayim and spend it there. So it says, though, that Kerem Ravai, that if the Kerem Ravai was within a day's walking of Yerushalayim in all directions, the Chachamim said, we don't want you to redeem it. We don't want you to redeem it. Why? Because the Chachamim wanted Yerushalayim to be adorned with grapes. It just looked nice. So if everybody was bringing up grapes to Yerushalayim, it was a beautiful scene. Especially then, those days, the fruits were much bigger. So it says, what are the boundaries? Eilat min ha-sofin. It says that Eilat from the north, Lud min ha-maidiv, Lud from the west, Yadim min ha-midrach, the Yadim from the east. Okay, va'omer ha-olav, yisem min ha-ba-ba-lu, amar Rabbi Yechanan, ma-tam, what's the reason? Kedei la'at, yirushuk yirushalayim be-peiris. To adorn the markets of Yerushalayim with fruits. So the Gemara tells the story, the Tavatanya we learned in Abraisa, Kerem Nevai Hoyele Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer had a vineyard of grapes, the Mizrach Lud. Wildlife, Lamed Aleph Amid Beis. Lamed Aleph Amid Beis, the first of the wide lines. Rabbi Eliezer had the Mizrach Lud on the east side of Lud. B'tzad kvar tavi, ubikash Rabbi Eliezer lafkir laniyim. Rabbi Eliezer wanted to make it hefker. Why? He was a very rich man, and it didn't pay for him to schlep all the stuff to Yerushalayim. Redeem it, he couldn't, because if it was the days of Yerushalayim, he couldn't. Days walk of Yerushalayim, he couldn't do it. So what did he want to do? He wanted to make it hefker. If you make it free for all, then he wouldn't have any problems with it. It wasn't his. Amrle Tamida says, Tamidim said to him, Rabbi, and what happened was that your friend already changed the halacha, and he said, even within a day of Yerushalayim, you could redeem them. So why are you... He thought the halacha remained the way it was, that within a day of Yerushalayim, you're not allowed to redeem the fruits, you have to take them up themselves. So he said to him, but your friend already made a takana, that even within a day of Yerushalayim, you could do it. And the Gemara says, "Man chavercha, who is your friend?" Rabbi Yechiel ben Zakkai. Okay, now the Gemara explains as follows, and this is just important to know because to understand the Gemara later. Rabbi Yechiel ben Zakkai lived in the time of the Churban Beis Hamikdash. In his days, Yerushalayim was ruined already; it was destroyed. So the whole reason why you couldn't redeem the fruits, why you had to carry up the fruits if you lived within a day of Yerushalayim, was to make Yerushalayim beautiful, but it was destroyed anyway. So the Rabbi Yechiel ben Zakkai said, what's the purpose? So you could redeem the fruits, even within a day's walking of Yerushalayim, you could redeem the fruits, and then, it's no problem. So they said to Rabbi Eliezer, why do you want to make your fruits hefker? That you shouldn't have to carry it to the Shalayim. When Rabbi Yechman Zaki, so that's what Rabbi Papa said. This was the ninth takana that Rabbi Yechman Zaki made, that after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdosh, you could take fruits even within a day's distance of Yerushalayim and redeem them.
They didn't write it down.
Huh?
They didn't write it down.
No, everything was oral in these days. It wasn't even Mishnah yet. Mishnah came five generations later. This is all oral. Yeah. So they said, Rabbi Eliezer, your buddy, meaning Rabbi Yechman Zakkai, did it. And Rabbi Nachman by Yitzchok Amar, Rabbi Nachman by Yitzchok said no. Rabbi Yechman Zakkai's ninth takana was a different one. What was this takana? Of Lashon Shovahedis, the strip of red wool. What does it mean? The Tanya says as follows. But Ishain originally, in the early days, Hayukeshim Lashon Shovahedis, Al Pesach Ulam Ebachutz. We know it exists. On Yom Kippur, they sent, there were two goats. The Torah says they made a lottery on two goats. One goat, they sent away Lazazel, I mean they threw it off a cliff. And that's how they were able to tell if Hashem forgave the Jews. How did they know? They used to take a red strip of wool and hang it on the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash, on the Ulam. And if Hashem, it was a miracle, if Hashem forgave the Jews, when they threw the thing off the cliff, the thing turned white. When the red wool turned white, so all the Yid knew that Hashem forgave the Yid, and they were very happy. So he said, that's what they did, but Rishayin initially, they used to tie a red wool on the Pesach of the Ulam at the antechamber b'bachutz. So Hilbin, when it turned white, Hayusmeichim, they were happy because, you know, Hashem forgave them. Lo Hilbin, if they didn't turn white, they were upset because they knew that Hashem didn't forgive them. So what happened? So they didn't want the people to get upset. So what did they do? They changed the place of the wool and put it on the animal. Mm-hmm. And the animal they threw off the cliff, they put it on his horn, as the Gemara is going to explain. So it says, Hiskina, they made a takonim, shokeshin, they said, Pesach, ulam mibifnim. They would put it inside the ulam. That's what they did. But people would still peek in and see. So they were able still to see if they were forgiven or not. What it, so then Hilbin, if they turned white, they were happy. They were sad. So what did they do? They made a takon as follows. They took it out of the Beis HaMikdash. And they put the strip of red wool, half of it on the rock, and half of it they put on the horns of the goat that they threw off the cliff. So basically nobody could see it anymore. So it says, and who was the one that made that takana? Was Rabbi Yechman Zakkai. Okay? So this is where the Gemara rounds off, so to speak, the ninth takana of Rabbi Yechman Zakkai. One opinion, Rav Papa says, the ninth takana was about that even within a day of Yerushalayim, you could redeem the fruits. And the last one, the other opinion of Rav Nachman by Yitzchok was that Rabbi Yechman Zakkai's takana, the ninth takana was that they put it on the horns rather than in the Beis HaMikdash, the red wool. So now the Gemara asks, why is Rav Nachman by Yitzchok and Rav Papa arguing? This one says this was the ninth decree, and this one says this was the ninth decree. Why don't they like the other one's case? So he says as follows: Rav Nachman by Yitzchok, my time alayamik Rav Papa. Rav Nachman by Yitzchok, why doesn't he like Rav Papa? What's wrong with the takana that Rabbi Yechim and Zakkai made that even within a day of Yerushalayim you can redeem the fruits? What's wrong with that? Amalach, he said very simple. He says like this: the one that made that takana cannot be Rabbi Yechim and Zakkai. Why? Because Chaveira de Rabbi Eliezer Mihaver was Rabbi Yechim and Zakkai, the friend of Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Yehavi was his teacher. What does this mean? The Gemara says, they said, when Rabbi Eliezer wanted to make his fruit hefker, so they said, why, your friend, this is what they said to him, your friend said that you don't have to. So the Gemara says, what do you mean your friend? Rabbi Yechim and Zakkai was the student of Rabbi Eliezer. I'm sorry. Yeah.
Rabbi Eliezer is the Rav.
Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yechman Zakkai, Rabbi Yechman Zakkai was his Rebbe. Yom Pirkei Avos, it says, Chamisha Talmidim Hoyo Rabbi Yechman Zakkai. Rabbi Yechman Zakkai had five students. One of them was Rabbi Eliezer. Okay? Can you imagine telling your Rebbe, your friend told you something when this is the Rebbe's Rebbe? How did they tell Rabbi Eliezer, your friend, Rabbi Yechman Zakkai? Permitted it. He was his Rebbe. So obviously he can be Rabbi Yechman Zakkai, because they used the expression, your friend, and Rabbi Eliezer was his Rebbe. I mean, Rabbi Yechman Zakkai was his Rebbe. So the Gemara answers, you're right. How does Rav Papa learn what he does? Kivin the Talmidim Havel, because they were Rabbi Eliezer's students, they don't. It's not nice to tell your Rebbe, your Rebbe. Meaning as follows. There's three generations here. Rabbi Eliezer was the Rebbe. I'm sorry, Rabbi Yechman Zakkai was the Rebbe. His students were Rabbi Eliezer. His students were the guys talking to him. Right? So now, the students have to tell Rabbi Eliezer something that his Rebbe said. Right? You think it's nice for them to say, your Rebbe said? So they said to him, your friend said. Really, Rabbi Yechman Zakkai was Rabbi Eliezer's Rebbe. But they didn't want to say to Rabbi Eliezer, hey, your Rebbe told you. It's not nice. So he said, they said to him, your friend said. But really, you're right, he was his Rebbe.
It was also their Rebbe too.
It was the Rebbe's Rebbe.
But the people that said it.
There's a famous story. There was a simple Jew who used to go to one of the Mizritcher Magid's students as a Rebbe. He used to go to him. And he used to get brachas from him, and he was very successful. One time he came to his Rebbe, I forgot which one it was, he came to his Rebbe, and his Rebbe's wife says he's not home. So he says, where is he? He went to his Rebbe. He went to the Namagid. So the guy says, wow, my Rebbe has a Rebbe. Whoa. So he says, so why should I go to him? His brachas is so successful, if I go to his Rebbe, it'll be a million times more successful. So he stopped going to his Rebbe and he went to the Magid. And everything went downhill. It didn't work, nothing happened. It was terrible. So he couldn't understand this. He says, if the students brought his help, the Rebbe's the physician. Anyway, so he went back to his Rebbe and he says, how come? What's going on? So his Rebbe said to him, I'll tell you what the story is. When you picked any person as a Rebbe, you weren't particular. God wasn't particular with you either. So things worked for you. But once you started getting picky, who you're going to, so then God started getting picky with you and nothing worked. Rabbi Yechman Zakkai was the Rebbe of Rabbi Eliezer. Okay? So he said, listen, you know, it doesn't work. So that's why Rav Nachman Yitzchak doesn't hold like Rav Papa, because he says, how could they call Rabbi Yechman Zakkai, your friend, if he was really his Rebbe? But now the Gemara says, Rav Papa, my time in Leomik Rav Nachman Bei Yitzchok. Why doesn't Rav Papa hold a Rav Nachman Bei Yitzchok that the last takon of Rabbi Yechman Zakkai was the concept with the red wool?
How can he make a difference, say, the difference from the Rebbe?
He didn't know. He didn't know what his Rebbe said, so the guys told him. But the question is, why doesn't Rav Papa hold it? Rav Nachman Bei Yitzchok, the last takana was the red wool story. Amalach says, Rav Papa answered very simple. If you're saying the one that made the takana to put it on the goat's horn was Rabbi Yechman Zakkai, it can't be. Rabbi Yechman Zakkai, when he became the leader, it was after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. If the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, there was no goats lazozel. Yeah. So what do you mean, Rabbi Yechman Zakkai made a takana to put it on the horns of the goat? There was no goat.
Yeah.
The Gemara says, "We made Rabbi Yechman Zakkai in the days of Rabbi Yechman Zakkai. Mi'avaloshen shel zehedus was there a strip of red wool? It can't be." And the Gemara says, interesting thing about Rabbi Yechman Zakkai. But Tanya, we learned in the Braisim, Kol shneisiv shel Rabbi Yechman Zakkai me'ev esim shana. Rabbi Yechman Zakkai lived 120 years. What did he do for those 120 years? The Gemara says, "Aboyim shana asik b'prakmatia." 40 years he did business. I mean, the first 40 years of his life he was working. Arbaim Shana Lamed, 40 years he learned. And Arbaim Shana Limed, and 40 years he taught. In fact, it says it was like Moshe Rabbeinu. Because Moshe Rabbeinu also lived 120 years. And then Moshe Rabbeinu was 40 years, and then 40 years, and the last 40 years, that he was the leader of the Jews. So the Gemara says, V'tanya, we learned, Arboim Shana Kedem Shenecher of Abayis, 40 years before the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, Lo Hayolashin Shel Zaheiris Malbin, it never turned white, Elamadim, it only became wet. Okay? It only stayed red. See, the Gemara says, doesn't mean it became red, it stayed red, because it was red to begin with. And tonight, and yet we learned, Mishachadev Beis HaMikdash, Vabayis, when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, Hiskin Rabbi Yechem Zaki, then Rabbi Yechem Zaki made a takana. So the Gemara says a very simple thing. Rabbi Yechem Zaki lived as a leader after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. Right? Now, 40 years before the destruction already, the red wool didn't work anyway. Everybody knew that it was staying red. So how could it be possible that Rabbi Yechem Ben Zakeh said, you put it on the goat's horns, that people shouldn't know if it turned white or stayed red, when it was just, chronologically, it was impossible. Because Rabbi Yechem Ben Zakeh lived at the end of the Beis HaMikdash, and only the last 40 years was he a Rebbe, was he leading. So how could you say 40 years before that already stopped, and Rabbi Yechem Ben Zakeh made a takana? It can't be. So Gemara says, V'idach, what does he hold? He says, no. He says, Rabbi Yechem Ben Zakeh, even when he learned, the second 40 years, when he learned, the Gemara thought that Rabbi Yechem Ben Zakeh couldn't do anything until he became the last 40 years. So Gemara says, not true. Even when Rabbi Yechem Ben Zakeh was a student, he was already making takanas. The Gemara says, Aitim Aboim Shana Delombad. When Rabbi Yechem Ben Zakeh was the last 40 years, Talmud Yeshiv Nei Rabbi Hava, he was a disciple sat before his teacher. V'amen milsa, and he used to say things. V'istaber timing, and his Rebbe accepted it. So the Gemara answers as follows: really, Rabbi Yechem Ben Zakeh made the takana. Rabbi Yechem Ben Zakeh made the takana. That's the Gemara said. Rabbi Yechem Ben Zakeh was so great that the Rebbe accepted it even as it is. And it says v'kaboy Rabbi b'shmei, and because of Rabbi Yechem Ben Zakeh's idea, the Rebbe said it in the name of Rabbi Yechem Ben Zakeh. So Gemara says it was possible because then it could be 80 years, not 40. It was 80, and so Rabbi Yechem Ben Zakeh made such a takan. Anyway, Hillel also lived 120 years. It says in Kabbalah and Chassidus that Moshe Rabbeinu and Hillel and Rabbi Yechem Ben Zakeh were all 120 years. They were all the same neshama. In fact, it worked like this. Rabbi Yechem Ben Zakeh, if you remember, we learned in the Gemara Sukkah, Rabbi Yechem Ben Zakeh was the youngest student of Hillel. Hillel had, the greatest was Yonasan ben Uzziel. Hillel had 80 Talmidim. The greatest was Yonasan ben Uzziel. He said that when a bird flew over his head, it burnt. That's how great he was. And the youngest was Rabbi Yechem Ben Zakeh. Rabbi Yechem Ben Zakeh has, as you see in Pirkei Avos, five students, Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yeshua, and so on. Rabbi Akiva was the student of Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua. So it worked, just generation-wise, Hillel, Rabbi Yechem and Zakeh, Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua, and then Rabbi Akiva. And then the five students, Rabbi Shimon Yechoy, Rabbi Yudah, Rabbi Yisrael, those people. That's the way it worked. The generations from the days of the Tanoim. Okay.
Rabbi Yechem Ben Zakeh wasn't the
Rabbi Yechem Ben Zakeh.
And he was the youngest one, and he became the leader, rather than the guy who was had birds burning above his head?
Well, it could be that he became leader after he passed away. And by the way, leadership qualities doesn't mean that the guy knew how to learn the best. It was more to leadership qualities than just knowing how to learn. Yonasan ben Uzziel wrote in the Chumash, you have Makreis Gedolos Chumash, there's Targum Onkelos, and then there's Targum Yonasan ben Uzziel. And Yonasan ben Uzziel wanted to write a Pirush on the book of Daniel. And Daniel talks about a lot about hints about Mashiach. And yet Rabbi Yonasan ben Uzziel wanted to write a Pirush on Daniel, and a voice came out from heaven and said, you better not do it, because he would have revealed things about Mashiach that Hashem didn't want to reveal. Mm-hmm. But Yonasan ben Uzziel, there's an interesting... No, it's Nibbukar. Okay, whatever. Now, next Mishnah. The Mishnah is going back. You know, the Gemara got distracted a little bit with Rabbi Yechman Zakeh's Takonis. Now the Gemara is going back to Rosh Hashanah, which is the Gemara. So it says, say the brachas. Almost done, by the way. A few more blocks. Say the brachas. Now the Gemara is going to discuss the brachas of Rosh Hashanah Musaf. You know, we have a long Rosh Hashanah Musaf. The way we do it is, as the Gemara is going to explain, Malchias, Zechreinus, and Shefres. Okay? After the initial introduction of the Shemoneh Esrei, like always, then on Rosh Hashanah you have three additional brachas. Brachas that speak about Hashem as King, Malchias. Zechreinus is Hashem remembering us. And then Shefres, the psukim to talk about Shefer. So, but the Gemara is going to have a whole argument now in the Mishnah. We do it now halachically one way, but the Gemara is going to figure out how we got to that. So it says in the Mishnah, say the brachas, what's the order of the brachas of Musaf and Rosh Hashanah? So it says, Emer Avis. Avis is the first brach, you know, Kel Avram Elokei Yitzchak Elokei Yaakov. Then you have Gvuris, which is Ata Giber, right, the second brach of Shemoneh Esrei. Then you have Kedushas Hashem. Kedushas Hashem is Ata Kaddish Vishimcha Kaddish. Because the Gemara is basically saying, you have the first three brachas of Shemoneh Esrei, V'keilu Malchi Yisimohem, and in the same bracha, you put the psukim of Malchias, Ve'ena Tekea, and then you don't blow Shefer. Okay, then, Kedusha Sayyim, you talk about the Kedusha of the day, you know, you speak about Rosh Hashanah, Ve'tekea, then you blow, Zechreinus Ve'tekea, Zechreinus, the next set of brachas, Zechreinus and blow, Shefer is Ve'tekea, and then you blow Shefer and you blow, Ve'emer Aveda, then you say Ritzei, which is called Aveda, because say v'hashi v'avoida lidvir beisecha, that's aveda, v'heida and emaidim, which is heida, and birchas koyanim divrei Rabbi Yechman Nuri. So Rabbi Yechman Nuri says the following: Malchias, the first set of brachas, goes with the first three. You include it together, but you don't blow shayfer. Then you speak about atav chatanu, you know, about the Rosh Hashanah things. Then you blow Shefer. Then you make say Zechreinus and blow and Shefer's and blow. Okay? Amale Rabbi Kiva said Rabbi Yechman Nuri, Im Eine Tekele Malchias, if you're not blowing for Malchias, Lama Hu Maskir, why are you saying it the same in the same time, Klau, if you're not blowing Shefer? El, what does he say you do different? You say as follows, Eimer Gavis, you know, the first bracha, Gvuris Ata Gibur, Kedushas Hashem Ata Kaddish, and Keilu Malchias Im Kedushas Hayim, and together with Kedushas Hayim, you do Malchias, V'tekeya and you blow, Zechreinus V'tekeya, Zechreinus and blow, Shefes V'tekeya, and then you see Aveda Yidah Berchus Kenim. We do like Rabbi Kiva says. Yeah, I'll get it for you. Here. Look on page 282. 282. Normally we use the Machzor, but the Shemoneh Esrei happens to be in the Siddur. And 282, yeah, you see you have the first bracha, you know, Magen Avraham, okay? Then you have the second bracha, Ata Giber. Then you have Ata Kaddish, okay? Now, the way our Siddur works is Ata Kaddish goes straight, okay? And then you go after Akela Kaddish, Melech HaKaddish at the bottom of 283. Then you start talking about Rosh Hashanah, Ata V'chartanu, and the whole 284 speaks about Rosh Hashanah, right? The next two pages deal with all the psukim of Malchias, 285, 286, 287. Then you finish the bracha Malchus on the top of 288. On the top of 288, you finish the bracha Melech al Kol Haaretz. Okay, then you blow Shofar. After Zecher begins what's called Zichreinus. Okay, that goes until 291. And then you blow Shofar again. The last third set is Ata Negleisa, which is the Inyan of Shofaris. And that stops at 293 at the bottom. Right. Right. What we do is according to Rabbi Kiva. Because you see what Rabbi Kiva says is as follows. You do the first bracha, the first three. Okay, that's not simple. The first three. Then Rabbi Kiva says, together with the Yom Tov concept, after Amelech HaKadosh, the fourth bracha deals with the Yom Tov, and then it deals with the Psukim of Malchus. You put it all together, and then you blow. The first opinion, Rabbi Chaim and Nuri said, you don't do that. He said, you put all these Malchus brachas in the bracha of Akel HaKadosh, and you don't blow. Then you'd speak about Atav HaChatanu with the Kedusha of the day, and then you blow. So Rabbi Kiva said, if you're not blowing by Malchus, what are you putting it in there for? So according to Rabbi Chaim and Nuri, it's not the order of the Shemoneh Esrei the way we have it. He mixed it up. He puts we have Kedusha Sayyim, and then Malchus. He sticks Malchus before Kedusha Sayyim. And you don't blow. So Rabbi Kiva said, what are you doing that for? It just doesn't make sense. Same thing like Rabbi Kiva. The halacha is like Rabbi Kiva. So the Gemara says as follows. So Rabbi Kiva says, Rabbi Kiva said to Rabbi Yechim and Nuri, if you're going to put Malchus earlier and not blow, what are you saying him for? So the Gemara says, Amale Rabbi Kiva. So he said, it says in the Mishnah, Rabbi Kiva said to him, Im ainu tekele Malchus, if he doesn't blow, Lamu Maske, why does he mention them? So the Gemara says, what? Lamu Maske, Rachman Amitke, the Torah says mention them. The Gemara is going to quote the psukim we learn now that Hashem says, "Say before me, Malchus, Zichreinus, and Shofar." So the Gemara says, Rabbi Kiva said in the Mishnah, "Terbeich Menuri, if you're going to say Malchus and not blow, why are you saying Malchus?" So the Gemara says, "What do you mean? Why do you say Malchus? Hashem says to say Malchus. What do you mean? Why do you say Malchus?" Well, they learn it out from the Chumash. Yeah. So he says, "Elulam Eser." The question, why do you say 10? Lema Tesha. Why don't you say 9? Hel the Ishtani Ishtani. Because the fact that it's different, it's different. Meaning as follows. The Gemara is going to learn later that each one, Malchus, Zechreinus, and Shofaris, you say 10 psukim from Tanakh of each one. And the way it works is as follows. There's Torah Nevi'im Ksuvim. So by Malchus, and if you look in the Siddur, that's the way it is. In Malchus, you have, the Gemara says, you say three psukim from Chumash, three psukim from Nevi'im, and three psukim from Ksuvim, and then you finish off with a pasuk in Chumash. So you have 10. 10 psukim are Malchus, 10 psukim are Zichreinus, and 10 psukim are Shofaris. Three from Chumash, three from Nevi'im, three from Ksuvim, and the 10th is from Chumash. Rabbi Kiva says, okay, I understand you have to say Malchus. But my question to you is, if it's different, but that you don't blow by Malchus according to you, so why do we say 10 psukim of Malchus? We should say 9, 8, 6, whatever. And as you, Rabbi Yechim and Nuri says, for Malchus you don't blow. That means Malchus are different. If they're different, why do you say 10 psukim? Say 8, 6, 5, whatever, say a different amount. That's what Rabbi Kiva said to Rabbi Yechim and Nuri. Therefore, Rabbi Kiva disagreed, and Rabbi Kiva holds like we do, that we start off with the first three brachas finish. The fourth bracha is Yom Tif and Malchus together and blow. And then Zechreinus and Shefes. Now, we're going to see later, even though the Gemara doesn't discuss this, because if the Gemara discussed this, we wouldn't be talking, it wouldn't be an argument. Many people don't blow in the quiet Shemoneh Esrei.
Yeah, why?
Many Ashkenaz, if you go to a lot of non-Chabad shows, they don't blow during the quiet Shemoneh Esrei. And Alter Rebbe, in fact, in Shulchan Aruch, bring down two opinions if you do or not. And if you take Shulchan Aruch at face value, it's Mashmid Alter Rebbe holds you don't blow during the quiet Shemoneh Esrei. Our minig is, according to Kabbalah, that you blow, because then you have 100 sounds of the shofar. Why don't people blow during the quiet Shemoneh Esrei? It's very simple. Why don't they? Because it disturbs the people davening. The main blowing, according to all opinions, is during the repetition of the Shemoneh Esrei. That's for sure. Because in the olden times, just to make it understandable, in the olden times, most people didn't daven the quiet Shemoneh Esrei in Rosh Hashanah. There were no machzeirim, there were no sidurim. You know, mele, the everyday davening you memorized. Rosh Hashanah, it says, nobody davened. Very few people davened because they could have a siddur. Can you imagine being somewhere you don't have a siddur? No, you're going to daven Rosh Hashanah by heart. The Shemoneh Esrei, who can daven Rosh Hashanah by heart? So they didn't daven. What did they do? They relied on the chazan. The chazan, and that's why they learned. Why does the chazan repeat the Shemoneh Esrei during the week and Shabbos? The chazan repeats the Shemoneh Esrei for those people that don't know how to daven. So why do we do it today if everybody has siddurim? Because tradition, the chazan repeated the Shemoneh Esrei. But Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, the Gemara says that even the people that knew how to daven and Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur were yaitzeh from the chazan. Because nobody knew it by heart, even the experts that knew how to daven, but the Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, they didn't daven. I mean, they didn't have a siddur, they didn't have a machzer.
Even the chazan didn't have
a siddur. The chazan had a siddur. Or remember many times he didn't. Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, they say he had a siddur. In fact, one second. If the chazan is repeating the Shemoneh Esrei, yeah? Why does he say it quietly to himself first? Just go to the second one.
Yeah.
So the second is to practice. Because in the olden times, they didn't have siddurim. Uh-huh. So he had to get it straight in his mind how to daven. So he practiced in the quiet Shemoneh Esrei for himself. And then he said it out loud.
So the loud one is actually the main one.
Right. Now, why doesn't the chazan say Elokai Nitzor? The last paragraph. Because that's not part of Shemoneh Esrei, originally. When the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah made up the Shemoneh Esrei, it stopped at Amavarech HaSami Yisrael Bashalom. That's why in the Elokai Nitzor you're allowed to answer certain things, because it's not really part of the Shemoneh Esrei. Elokai Nitzor was added in the time of the Gemara. I think Rava made it up. Elokai Nitzor was added in the time of the Gemara. It was much later. So because it's not from the primary part of Shemoneh Esrei, for those guys that didn't daven, they didn't worry about it. Just like we learned, why doesn't the chazan repeat the might of Shemoneh Esrei? Shachas you repeat, Mincha you repeat, Ma'ariv you don't. So the answer is, because Ma'ariv original, not nowadays, Ma'ariv original was optional. Ma'ariv was optional. So if a guy didn't know how to daven, so he didn't daven, who cared? You have to make a whole repetition for him. So the chazan doesn't repeat Ma'ariv. Because traditionally they didn't repeat Ma'ariv, because there was no need for anybody to daven Ma'ariv. So it stayed that way. Shachris and Mincha would repeat. But what I'm saying is, what the explanation of this whole Gemara is, as we'll soon see, is that in the time of the Gemara, very few people davened even the quiet Shemoneh Esrei Rosh Hashanah. So for sure they didn't blow. They didn't blow because it was davening. You know what I mean? Basically, it was a loud Shemoneh Esrei that the chazan repeated and everybody listened to. So the main blowing is in the loud Shemoneh Esrei. Nowadays, al pi Kabbalah, that you have to blow 100 sounds of the shofar. So you have 30, 30, 30, and 10. So you have the 30 in the middle of the quiet Shemoneh Esrei.
I think that would be an auspicious time to go in the quiet.
But according to some people, it's very disturbing.
Yeah.
You have to stop and listen, and then you have to get back your kavana again, you know. And then if the guy doesn't blow while you're thinking lashon hara, the guy's terrible. And yeah, it's way ahead. What's he going? How are you taking so fast? What's going on? Yeah. So they made it the way that you don't do it. There's days, but about Pikaboli, you're supposed to do it even during the Kriyas Shema Asiya, the blowing. So that's the way we do it.
Because
in the Kriyas Shema Asiya,
I have to stand up and listen.
Yeah.
The Kavona.
In the Kriyas Shema Asiya. Yeah. Yeah, because according to Kabbalah, it's very important during the Kriyas Shema Asiya. That's why you have to stop and listen. But that's what the Gemara is explaining over here about. What the Gemara is talking about, the blowing over here, when you blow, if you blow by Malchus, like Rabbi Chaim Nuri says, you don't blow by Malchus, but you blow by Kedusha Sayyim. So Rabbi Givis says to him, if you're not blowing, why are you saying it? So the Gemara says, what do you mean, why you say it? Eibishter says you have to say it. So he says, no, I mean, why do you say 10 psukim? Because like William, the Gemara is going to explain soon that you say all 10, you say 10 psukim by each one. But Rabbi Givis asks, if anyway it's different because you don't blow by Malchus, so then why are you saying 10 psukim, say less. Okay, now we'll start the next piece of Gemara. Tan Rabban, Rabban learned. Obviously, you could also use the Siddur, because we learned before that the Anshei Knesset HaGdola instituted the Shmoneh Esrei, right? Now, the Gemara says, what do they base it on? What do they base the brachas of Shmoneh Esrei on? So the Gemara says as follows. If you go to what we say Friday night before the Chodei, the Mizmor LaDavid, on 131, we'll see as follows. Gemara says, "Tan Rabban Rabban Olunt Minayin Sheiminim Avis," meaning from where did they, the Anshei Knesset Gedolah, derive that you have to say Avis, like we say Alakei Avraham, Alakei Yitzchak, Alakei Yaakov. So it says because it says over there, "Havel Hashem Bnei Elim," okay, rendered to Hashem the children of the Mighty One. So who is the Mighty One? Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov were the mighty ones. So you say Avis. See, he comes prepared. He knew you're gonna. Then it says Minayin Sheiminim Gvuris. From where did the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah get the idea of saying Ata Gibur with all the union of Gvuris strength? Because it says Havel Hashem Kavod V'Oz, give him strength, honor and strength. And how do we know we say after Kaddish? Because it says Havul Hashem Kveit Shmei Hishtachvul Hashem Bahadras Kaddish. So you see in this capital Tillim, you have Aves, and you have Kavi Ve'Oiz, which is after Gibur, and then you have the union Havul Hashem Bahadras Kaddish is after Kaddish Shimcha Kaddish. And then it says Minayin Shemir Malchi Zechreinus and Sheifris. Then the Gemara says, how do I know that on Rosh Hashanah you say the Psukim of Malchi is Zechreinus and Sheifus? So it says, Rabbi Eliezer says, because it says as follows. In the Psukim it says, Shabbosin Zichrin Trua Mikra Kedish. It says it's a day of rest, Shabbosin, Zichrin Trua, a remembrance of blowing, Mikra Kedish, a holy calling of holiness. So he says as follows, Shabbosin is Kedusha Sayyim, to talk about the holiness of the day. Zichrein is Zichreinus. Trua is Sheifris. Okay? And the Gemara is going to finish. Mikra Kedish, but mean Kacheo Basias Malocha, sanctified by not doing work. The Gemara didn't learn out Malchias yet. That the Gemara is going to say a different pasuk. But Rabbi Eliezer says, every word of the pasuk, Shabbosein means you have to talk about the day, the holiness of the day. Zichrein means you have to say Zichreinus. Trua means you have to speak about Shefus. Mikra Kedish, that you're not allowed to work. That's what Rabbi Eliezer holds. Amalei Rabbi Akiva. So Rabbi Akiva said to Rabbi Eliezer, who happened to be his Rebbe like William before, why should we not say that Shabbosin means Shvois, to rest? Why do you say Mikra Kedish means to rest, not to do work? He said, that doesn't make sense. Switch around your order. He says like this, Shabbosein means Kacheo Basias Malacha. Rabbi Kiva learns the order of the pasuk differently. Shabbosin means don't do work. Zichrein is zichreinus. Sheitrua is sheifus. Mikra kodesh, calling it holy, means kedusha sayem. So Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Eliezer argue in one point. That Rabbi Eliezer says Shabbosin means kedusha sayem, and mikra kodesh means don't work. And he holds the opposite. Okay, you know what? Let's finish it.